Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
I'm going to read from the 100th Psalm for a setting this morning for my message. You know, this coming week, we're going to celebrate a very special day, Thanksgiving Day. How many can believe it's Thanksgiving already? Where in the world has this year gone? All of a sudden, we're looking at Thanksgiving, and people have already put Christmas lights out, and we've already decorated the church. Doesn't it look beautiful this morning? Don't you like it? Isn't it beautiful? For all of those that did all the hard work of putting all this together, we're so appreciative. But Thanksgiving is coming up, and it's a day that we always eat more than we should eat. And we always eat everything that we shouldn't be eating. And we're all looking forward to that day. And so this morning, I want to talk to you a little while about, Lord, we just want to give you thanks. Lord, we want to give you thanks. And we can pick that up from the 100th Psalm. If you have your Bible, you might want to follow along. It'll also be on the screen. Look at this with me this morning. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. As you read that psalm, there's only 5 verses in the psalm. It's one of the short ones, but yet it's one of the psalms that we all refer to and we go back and we read so often because in reality, it's a psalm of invitation for us to come into the presence of the Lord, to come into his presence. Now, in the Old Testament, that was quite a difficult thing to do because everybody was not able to come into the presence of the Lord. If you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find out that there were only certain people who actually came into the presence of the Lord. Moses was one of those that God had chosen. And Moses was able to come into the presence of the Lord. And his first experience was at the burning bush. You remember that story, that God encountered Moses at the burning bush, and so the presence of God was with him. And Moses would also go up on top of the mount, and there God would commune with him. And when God was giving him the writing of the Ten Commandments for Israel to follow, God was on the mountain in the presence of Moses was on the mountain in the presence of God. And when he came off of the mountain, the glory of the Lord was so radiant coming from his face that he had to put a veil over his face because the people could not look upon him. And then there was also an occasion where God would speak, and the nation of Israel would hear God speaking, and they were so full of fear, they said to Moses, "Moses, you go up on top of the mountain and you talk to God, because when God speaks to us, it creates fear in us, and we want you to talk to God." So in the Old Testament, there were a few people who encountered the very presence of God. And we understand that by reading the Old Testament. However, when you get to the New Testament, things change a little bit. Because when you get to the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16, the writer of Hebrews says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be, or cannot sympathize. I'm trying to read. King James is coming to mind, and I'm trying to read New King James. So bear with me. For verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our temptations or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore do what? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. So in the Old Testament, we see people coming into the presence of God only on occasion, and only certain people were allowed to come into the presence of God. But in the New Testament, something wonderful happens, because in the New Testament, Jesus has been to Calvary, and the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, letting us know that the Holy of Holies is now open to whosoever will, let them come into the presence of God, because we can now come boldly into His presence and make our needs known. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm living in New Testament day. I'm glad I'm living in a time where I can know my Heavenly Father, where I can come into His presence, where I can come into the presence of the Lord. I can feel the glory of the Lord in my life. I like this day a whole lot better than the Old Testament day. Can I hear an amen in the house? And so it's a transition time, and so we've learned to worship the Lord, and we've learned to give thanks. And that's what Psalms 100 talks about, giving thanks. Now, there are a couple of things that I think that I want to point out to you in the 100th Psalm. Now, first of all, he says, come before the Lord with singing. Now, I'm not a singer. I try to sing every once in a while if I'm at home or riding in the car with Jane. Sometimes we'll get to singing together. I'm not a great singer. And most of you know the kind of music I listen to. I like good old Southern gospel music. Amen. I like to hear old Bill Gaither and all of his bunch get up and sing, and all those quartets singing. That's my style of music. And all of you also know that I like a little bluegrass every once in a while. Amen. You got to have a little foot stomping bluegrass music to get you going every day. And so I like bluegrass music as well. Now, there are a lot of people. My brother-in-law, Don, he's also a pastor, he hates bluegrass. He doesn't like bluegrass at all. And I love to get around him and start singing some kind of bluegrass song. You know, I love to torment him with a little bluegrass every once in a while. But I like the music. I like the stringed instruments and the banjo and the fiddle. And I just love that music style. And you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like that. And you know, that's your choice. Well, thank God. You know what? I believe that God likes all kinds of music. I believe every once in a while he likes a good old bluegrass song. I don't know about you. You know, you think, well, we're living a new day, and all that music is gone. And, you know, we used to sing out of what we call the Ridback hymnal. You that have been in the Church of God for a long time, you remember the old Ridback hymnal days. And all of our churches have the same hymnal. We all sang the same songs. And it didn't matter what Church of God you went to, you knew they were going to sing page 92. You know, page 92 was going to be sung. Wherever you go, page 92 was going to be sung, because that was a standard in the Church of God. That was one of our favorite songs in the hymnal. And so now we've come to the day where we've retired the hymnal. You don't see those anymore around anywhere, unless you go in the back closet or somewhere and pull one out, maybe by accident. We don't have those anymore, and music has changed, and we've gone through a music revolution, and that's okay. I believe God is also a God of change. Amen. You don't need to do the same old thing all the time. Sometimes we need to do something different. And so music has changed. In the last few years, we've gone through a real revolution in the styles of music that we sing in our churches. And that's okay. I like that. We sang a song Wednesday night that I dearly loved. And it talked about the chain breaker, Jesus being the chain breaker. And boy, I love that song. It just got a hold of me and started ministering to me. And so I like that. I like all kinds of music. But I think God also likes all kinds of music. And so once in a while, he probably gets his bluegrass band together up there in heaven, and they have a little bluegrass music going. I don't know. Maybe not. I haven't been there yet. One day I'm going to find out, because I plan to go. But the scripture talks about us coming into his presence with singing. We like to come into the presence of the Lord with singing. Singing ushers us into the presence of God. There's nothing like a good spiritual song that has good meaning that brings us into the presence of God. That's what we do around here in the Crystal River Church of God. Amen. We love our music. We love our music program. The worship team and Josh are doing a great job. And we love for them to lead us into worship, into the presence of God with singing. We sing into His presence. We sing and we worship God by our singing. Now that's not where I wanted to go this morning, because here's where I want to go. I want to go to the next verse that talks about entering into His gates with thanksgiving. Entering into His gates with thanksgiving. We give thanks unto the Lord because of what He has done. I want to make that clear this morning, because there's a difference in thanking Him and praising Him. And I wanted to sort of deal with that this morning, and so sort of stick with me, and we'll get there sooner or later today. But he says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for what He has done. If someone invites you out to lunch today, what are you going to say? Thank you. Oh, what did you say? Say, please do. If someone invited you to lunch today and you have a nice lunch, what are you going to say at the end of that lunch? Thank you, right? You're going to say thank you. If someone opens the door for you, you're going to go into Walmart, you're going to do your Christmas shopping, and you get there and someone opens the door and lets you in, what are you going to say? Thank you. Because they've done something for you, amen? Now, Jane, just a few days ago, I'd been out all day and went home, and she had a big old pot of pinto beans cooked up with ham seasoning. Anybody hungry yet? Big old pot of pinto beans and some cornbread. What do you think I said? Thank you. Amen. That was one of those meals that I love to eat. Pinto beans, cornbread, and some ham mixed in there. And if we missed this because we didn't have it, usually I put a big old fresh onion in my pinto beans and makes it good, all right? And so when I got through eating that meal, what did I say? Thank you. Thank you for preparing this meal. Thank you for preparing something that you know that I love to eat, pinto beans. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So when we talk about coming into the presence of God and being in His presence, one of the things that we need to do is to give God thanks for the things that He has done for us. Now, God is always doing something for us. I don't know if you realize that or not, but every day that you live, God is doing something for you every day that you live. You know, I was telling someone the other day, they were talking about my age, and I said, well, you know, I don't worry about how old I am. Pastor seems to worry about it a little bit more than I do, because he's always making reference to it. But it doesn't bother me much to be as old as I am. Because this is how I think about it. Every morning that I can get up and put my feet on the floor and stand up, it's going to be a great day. Amen. And I give God thanks. Thank you, Lord, for one more time that I can get up and get my feet on the floor and start out for another day. It doesn't matter how old I am. We just celebrated Jane's uncle's birthday last night with him, 90 years old. I'm planning on going to 90. I don't know what you're going to plan on doing around here, but I plan to live just as long as I can, and every day that I live is going to be a day of thanksgiving, because I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, that you've given me another day, another week, another month, another year. Thank you, Lord, because you've done something for me. When you get on the highways today, you better be thanking the Lord if you can get home safe. It's a crazy world that we live in. You got some crazy drivers out there. And every day, but what I'm saying is, every day God is doing something for us. And so every day we need to take out time not just to praise Him. You praise Him, and I'll get to this in a moment. You praise Him because of who He is. You thank Him because of what He's done for you. And every one of us in this building this morning have a debt of gratitude that we owe to the Lord, because every day God is doing something in our lives to make our life productive and fruitful for the kingdom of God. You say, well, the Lord hadn't done much for me lately. Well, you need to stop and look and turn around and look and just realize all the things that God, that we take for granted, that God does for us every day. We have people here this morning that are on oxygen tanks. They may not have one with them this morning, but they have an oxygen tank that they have to use when they get home. And so they don't take breathing for granted. Breathing for some is a labor. Breathing is a privilege for some, because they find it hard to breathe because of lung conditions or whatever. And most of us, we don't even stop and think about that during the day, do we? How many breaths do we take during the day? I don't know how many that would be, but we take quite a few breaths during the day. But we don't even think about it, do we? We don't even take a moment to say, well, one more breath, you know, one more breath. We don't think about it. It's so automatic. We just do it, and it happens, and we don't pay much attention to it. But every day we need to be thanking God that we can breathe, thanking God that we're healthy, thanking God that we can have the health that we have. Give Him praise, amen. Give Him praise, because we know that God keeps us every day and keeps us in health. Now, We're coming up on Christmas, and many of you are going to make a Christmas list, aren't you? And some of you may have already started that Christmas list, and that's okay. You know, I've been trying to get Jane to work on my list, and I'm trying to tell her things that I'd like to have for Christmas. You know, and every once in a while I'll say to her, "Now, honey, what do you want for Christmas?" And she told me the other day, she said, the only thing I want for Christmas is a new bra on my car. It's one of those covers that you put on your front of your car to protect it from bugs and love bugs and all that stuff. And she said, I'd like to have a new automobile bra for my car so I can protect my car and keep it shiny and looking good. I said, is that all you want? Well, no. I didn't think it was going to be the whole list, because somewhere between now and Christmas, I'm going to probably come up with a whole list of things that she may like to have for Christmas. And I'm going to give her my list. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the only problem is that my list, the things that are on my list anymore, are very expensive. Anybody here agree with that? You know, like a new motorcycle. That would be the top of my list, Jim. Give me a new motorcycle. That, you know, that's the top, right up there on the top of that list, new motorcycle. And the problem is, most of my toys have become so expensive, they're not even reality anymore. I'm dreaming. I'm living in a dream world. But we're making a list. And then New Year's is coming up. We're going to make a list, right? We all make our New Year's resolutions. You know, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to lay down some bad habits that I have. You know, we make these New Year's resolutions. But have you ever just stopped to say, I want to make a list of all the things that God's done for me? I want to list all the things that God has done for me. I want to make a list of all the things that God has done for me. Well, I want to share with you some of the things that I would put on my list. Things that I thank God for. Things that God has done for me. And I just happen to have that list with me this morning. Amen. And would you mind if I share with you in the next few minutes, would you mind if I share with you some of the things that I'm going to put on my list of thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me? Right on top of that list is going to be this. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In all the other things that I could put on that list this morning, and my list could go on and on and on and on, and so could yours, and I'm not going to share with you everything on my list. Isn't that good news? I the sermon has to have an end somewhere, so we're going to put an end on it in a few minutes, but I'm not going to put everything that I'm thankful for on my list this morning. I'm just going to share with you a few things that I thank God for. And I thank God that I'm saved. I'm thankful to the Lord that one day He came into my life and saved me and forgave me of my sins and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to say thank you, Lord, for saving me. He didn't have to save me. It was not required of Him to save me. But because of His love and because of His mercy and because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary, because of all of that today, I can come boldly into His presence and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me of all of my sins, which were many. I was bound on my way to a devil's hell, but Jesus came by one day and reached down and saved me and lifted me up, pulled me out of the pit of sin and wickedness, and planted my feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And this morning, I just want to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Anybody in the house want to put that on your list? Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. You wouldn't be here this morning, probably, if the Lord had not already saved you. And if you are here this morning and you're not saved and you're not a Christian, this would be a good morning for you to give your life to the Lord. Make that surrender that Steve was talking about a few moments ago. Surrender your life to Him and serve Him and love Him. And let Jesus come into your life and wash your sins away. Oh, thank God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No. Oh, I love to sing about the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank God that He saved me. Now, number two on my list. He sanctified me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And see, Pastor Steve was, I told him a few moments ago, I said, What are you doing up there trying to preach my sermon? You know? But he was preaching my sermon up here a while ago, talking about that refrigerator on his back. And not only has God saved me, and I thank Him for saving me, but thank God He also sanctified me. He took that old refrigerator off my back, and I was set free by the blood of Jesus Christ and through the Word of God. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, salvation only deals with the forgiveness of sin. You realize that? When you get saved, the only thing that really happens is that Jesus forgives you of the sins that you've committed. He forgives you of the fact that you were born a sinner. And things change. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. But somewhere along the way, we have to talk to God about our lifestyle and the way we live. We have to make some changes. Salvation is about changes. Sanctification is about changing your lifestyle, laying off the old things and putting on the new character like Jesus Christ. One of the things that I had to lay aside was my language. I had to deal with my language because as a 16-year-old teenage boy, I had some very bad language that I had to deal with. And when I got saved, I didn't quit talking bad. Something else had to happen in my life for me to come to the place that I wanted to say, Lord, I'm going to lay this down. This is not right. This is not pleasing to you. It's contrary to your word. You don't want me to be talking like this. You're going to have to do something about it. And so I was saved. I knew my sins were forgiven, but I was still struggling with my language. Maybe language for me, it may be something else for you. Maybe it's something else in your life that you need to lay down, you need to lay aside, and you know God has been dealing with you about it, and you know that it's something that you've been feeling guilty about, and you know that you can't be everything that God wants you to be because you've got this refrigerator that you're still carrying around on your back, as Steve said, and you can't get free. You have this weight that's weighing you down every day. You can't be everything God that you know God wants you to be. Because you've got this weight hanging on you. Now, back in the good old days, where I came from, the old saints of the church, you'd get saved, and when you got up from the altar, now back in those days, we all came to the altar to get saved. I mean, we had to walk down the aisle to get saved. And when you got saved, the old saints of the church, Sonny, would gather around you and they'd say, all right, now God saved you. Now you need to be sanctified. What in the world is sanctification? Lord have mercy. I don't know what that means. And then they'd begin to tell you, you got to quit your cussing, quit your bad language. You got to lay down some cigarettes, you know. And back in those days, they would say also, you can't cut your hair, you know, to the ladies. You can't wear makeup. You know, that was back in the old days. I'm just saying that was back in the old days, right? But there was something that happened. There was an experience that would take place in people's lives, and we called it sanctification. And it was that point in our life where we said, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to my life, but I know this. I love you with all of my heart, all that is within me, and I want to live so that everything that I do, everything that I say is pleasing in your sight, and anything that is unlike you, I'm going to lay it down. That's what sanctification basically is. It's a decision that we come to through prayer and supplication and seeking the face of God, where God comes in and he helps you to get that refrigerator off of your back. Amen? So that you can walk in liberty and walk in the freedom of knowing that sins are forgiven and you've been set free of the habits and the strings of life that have been pulling you down. Oh, thank God, sanctification cuts those strings, so that you can serve the Lord in joy and peace. And then he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Well, now that was a strange thing for a Baptist boy. You know what I mean? I was raised in Baptist church growing up, and they didn't tell you about the Holy Ghost. You know, that was just something that you mentioned along the way. But I went over and started hanging around one of those old Church of God churches where they would jump and hop and speak in tongues and run around the building. And old Sister Effie would come under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and shout all over the front of that church. And the old-timers would tell me about things that had happened to her. You've heard me tell some of those stories before, how that they had the old big pot-bellied stove in the middle of the church, and that old stove would get red hot, and Sister Effie would get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, when you get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, miracles and signs and wonders can take place in your life and in the lives of those that are around you. And old Sister Effie would get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and she'd shout over to that big old stove and put her hands on it. It'd be red hot, and she'd walk away with no burns on her hand whatsoever. You say, what in the world is that about? Well, it's just God trying to let people know he's God. And he moves in mysterious ways, and God is a miracle worker. Amen. Do those things happen anymore? I don't know. I haven't seen it. We don't have pot-bellied stoves anymore sitting in the middle of our sanctuary, do we? But if we did have one, I believe that the power of God is still available today, that if God wanted to manifest his presence and his power in a significant way, he could do that today just like he did back in those days. So they told me I needed to have the Holy Ghost. And so I just want to say thank you, Lord, for saving me and sanctifying me and filling me with the Holy Ghost. Now, what's the next number that we're going to look at? I want to thank God that I'm a part of the Church of God. You see, I'm Church of God because of choice. My mom and daddy weren't raised in the Church of God. I have no history in the Church of God. I came to the Church of God by choice. Anybody come into the Church of God by choice? You chose to come into the Church of God? Amen. All over this house, we've got people who made that decision. Just like I did, I came into the Church of God because that's where I found God. That's where I had religious training all of my life growing up. I went to church as a child growing up, but when I got saved, it was in the Church of God, and the Church of God preached a gospel that got a hold of my heart, and God saved me in the Church of God, and I said, hey, I like this, and I'm going to stay with it. And so my experience in the Church of God has been 50-some years being in the Church of God. Now, I want to tell you, we're not the only church on the block. Can I hear an amen in the house? Church of God is not the only church on the block. It simply is my choice, is my preference. The Church of God is my choice of where I'm going to church. Brother Cash, where are you going to church this morning? It's going to be a Church of God. Why? Because that's my choice. That's where I want to go. That's what I believe. We have 14 articles in our Declaration of Faith, and I believe in all 14 articles of the Declaration of Faith. Joshua, you can quote those for us this morning, can't you? All 14. That was a dirty trick, wasn't it? You see, to be a minister in the Church of God, you have to know all 14 of those items on the Declaration of Faith and what they mean. And so, Josh, you know what they are. I know. Right now, you're just sort of off point, you know. You can do it if you had some help. What are you saying, Brother Cash? I'm just saying I'm Church of God because I want to be Church of God. I love the principles and the doctrine and the theology of the Church of God. We believe in good things. Like, we believe there's a Heavenly Father who loves us and gave His Son so that we could be saved. We believe that Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We believe that Jesus is coming back again, and there's going to be eternal life for the righteous and eternal punishment for the wicked. We believe divine healing is in the atonement, that you can be prayed for and God will heal you. We believe in sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We even believe in washing of the saints' feet. Ooh. You know, we believe it. It's on our Declaration of Faith. I believe in it. Been a long time since I practiced it, but we believe in it. And let me just say this to you. I am thankful to the Lord that I am a member of the Crystal River Church of God. I am a member of the Crystal River Church of God. Because I want to tell you, I've traveled all over the state. I've been to church after church after church all over the state. And there is no church that compares to the Crystal River Church of God in the depth of our worship and the sincerity of our vision and what we're doing for God. You think sometimes when you come here, well, it's just service as usual. No, it's not service as usual. Every service that we come to, the manifest presence of God comes into this house. And we leave this place knowing that we've been touched by God. We know that we have brought our burdens in and we've left them on the altar. And we leave this building refreshed and revived and encouraged. And we go back out into a world that is hostile and cold and cruel. But oh, we don't worry about it, because we know that when we leave the house of God here in Crystal River, the power of God is with us. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon us. And whatever we're going to face on the outside of the doors of this building, we're going to be successful and we're going to overcome, because the power of God resides with us, in us, and upon us as we worship God in this building. Now, as I said, we're not the only church on the block, and there are other good churches and denominations. And I would say this: if you know whatever your persuasion is, that's where you need to go. You know, if our church is a little more, bit more than you can take, and you can't stand it, well, then find somewhere to go where you can stand it and go there. Is that all right? You with me this morning? I'm not encouraging anybody to go anywhere, but I'm just saying, if this doesn't fit you, go where you can fit in, because you need to be happy where you're going and you need to get something out of the place that you're going to worship. Amen. But for me and my house, we're going to show up here in Crystal River Church of God. For me and my house, we're going to come into this place and we're going to worship God, knowing that when we leave this place, we've been touched by the hand of the Almighty God. And so I thank God for the Church of God and for the Crystal River Church of God. Can I hear an amen in the house this morning? My Lord, where does time go? I'd like to say that I thank God for my family. If, next to God, your family is the most important thing in your life. God first, right? God first, and then family. And I thank God for my family. I have three boys, as most of you know. My oldest son, Chris, he was my wild child. He was the one that when he got old enough to leave home, he left home, and he did everything we told him not to do. All of his life growing up in the church, we had tried to help him to live according to the church doctrine and rules and regulations. And so, you know, there were certain things that they couldn't do, places they couldn't go growing up. And that was by our choice. And so when Chris became a man in his own right and left home, he decided he was going to try everything that Dad had told him he couldn't do. He was going to go out and live wild. And he did. And he paid the price for that, because there's always consequences to every action that we take. There are consequences that follow every action that we do. And if you do bad things, what's going to happen? You're going to have bad consequences. Amen? If you do the right things all the time, you're going to have good things to happen. God's going to bless you. You're going to be prosperous, and everything's going to be good. But if you do bad things, you're going to have to pay the price for that as well. Well, Chris was my wild child. Paul, my middle son, he was rebellious. He loved being rebellious. You know, if we told him he couldn't go somewhere, he'd go in spite of us. This was real funny. We went to a camp meeting one year, and he met one of his friends there at camp meeting, and they went out to a movie, and. Back then, we didn't go to movies that much. We sort of avoided movies, and so we told our kids they couldn't go. So Paul and one of his friends during camp meeting snuck off and went to a movie. Well, we wouldn't have known anything about it, but you know, God always has a way of showing things to mom and dad. You ever notice that? They always find out, don't they, kids, teenagers? They always find out, don't they? So mama comes home and she puts Paul's shirt in the washer to wash his shirt, and she noticed there was something in his pocket. And so she reaches in the pocket and pulls this movie stub out. And all of a sudden she realized that Paul and his friend had snuck off and gone to a movie. Well, was it the end of the world? No, it wasn't the end of the world, but it was something he was trying to hide. He was that rebellious child, and he was going to try to do everything that we told him not to do. And so he thought he'd done this. Oh, he was all proud of himself, until he came home and mom said, "Well, Paul, how'd you enjoy the movie?" Oh, what? Who told you? God told me. Well, in a roundabout way, that's true, isn't it? God sort of helped her find that ticket in his pocket. Well, God told me. Oh, no, somebody told you. Who told on me? Well, he learned a lesson that whatever you do, it always comes back home, and somebody always finds out about it. He was my rebellious child. And then there's Anthony. All of you know Anthony. And I just want to say this morning, I want to thank God for Anthony. Anthony's handicapped. Anthony will never be normal. Anthony will never drive a car. He'll never get married. He'll never go to college. Some of those things that normal active people get to do in life, Anthony will never be able to do any of those things. But I just want to say thank you, Lord, for Anthony coming into our life, because it has been a blessing from day one for us to have Anthony in our home. Amen. And to love him and to have him love us. You know, when Anthony was born, well-meaning people would come up, well, the Lord knew that you were just so special that he wanted to give you a handicapped child. And Jane would, you know Jane. Nothing gets by Jane. And if you want to know something, ask her, because she'll tell you the truth right up front. And people would come, oh, well, the Lord just knew that y'all were so special that he gave you a handicapped child. And Jane would say, well, tell God no thank you for a handicapped child. Because we didn't have that kind of mentality. Our mentality was that God gave us a child. It didn't matter whether he was normal or not normal, whether he would grow up to be the president of the United States, or whether he would always be living in mom and daddy's house and we'd be loving him and caring for him and taking care of him. It didn't matter to us. He was God's gift to us, just like all the other boys that we had in our family. And we always treated him just like he was like one of the other boys. And so I thank God this morning for my family, and I thank God for Anthony. I thank God that he has provided for me. I thank God that I live in the United States. I was going to say a lot about that this morning, but time's run out and I'm not going to be able to. But I'm glad I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm proud to be an American. We have heard all of this. We've been hearing all of this junk that's going on in our world today, and God have mercy on us. Amen. But I am proud to be an American citizen today. It doesn't matter what the political climate may be. I thank God that I'm in America today. Thank God for America. Now let me move on real quickly. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving. God, we're going to give you thanks for all the things that you've done for us. And then it talks about entering into his courts with praise. We praise him because of who he is, not because of the things that he has done for us. We praise him because he is, in fact, God. Amen. He is God, unexplainable. He is God, indescribable. He is God without beginning and without end. He is God who is ever, everywhere present. He is God who knows everything. He is God who has all power. He is creator. He is provider. He is the burden bearer. He is the chain breaker. He is the lifter up of my head. He is the way maker. He is the light in the middle of the darkest night. He is my sword and shield. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright in the morning star. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the one who will never leave me nor forsake me. He walks with me through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the rock of ages. He is my song in a weary land. He is the one who goes before me and who is behind me and who is all around me. And thank God he is under me and above me. Who is he? He is God Almighty. Woo! Hallelujah! He is God Almighty. He is all of those things. He is my God. And because of all of those things and many more things that we could say, because of all of those things, he is God and he deserves our praise because of who he is. Give him praise right now if you would. Why shouldn't I praise him? Why shouldn't I give him praise? You say, well, I don't feel like praising him. You don't have to feel like praising him. Just go ahead and praise him. Well, if you knew where I was in life and you knew my difficulties, Brother Cass, you wouldn't praise him. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter your circumstances of life. You owe it to him. You praise him because of who he is. You praise him because he is God. Woo! Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord! I don't praise him because everything's going right. I praise him because he's God. I don't praise him because I'm healthy or whatever. I don't praise him for that. I praise him because he's God. Even if I'm sick on my deathbed, I'm gonna want to praise God for what he means to me in my life. Praise him because of who he is. Woo! Hallelujah. We thank him because of what he has done, but we praise him because of who he is. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Man, I can't quit praising him. I just have to praise him all the time. I praise him when I get up. I praise him when I go to bed. I praise him when I eat my meals. I praise him when I put my clothes on every day. I praise him when I get in my automobile. And I praise him when I get home safe. Amen. I praise the Lord in all things. I give him praise because of who he is in my life. He'll never let me down. He'll never disappoint me. He'll never walk away and leave me alone. He'll always be with me. Wherever I go and whatever the circumstances of life I may be in, I don't worry about it because I know that God is going to be with me. He's promised that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Good times, bad times, all the circumstances that may come adversely, but in all of my circumstances of life, I've learned to praise him, to glorify him, to honor him, to give him the praise, because, you know, you can't praise the Lord long until you begin to forget about your problems and your difficulties. Why don't you try it sometimes? The next time you get down and out and feel sorry for yourself and you want to call up the pastor and cry on his shoulder, why don't you get alone somewhere and just start praising God with all that is within you? Praise him and praise him and glorify his name, and I'll guarantee you, your attitude will change. Woo! Hallelujah. So we praise him because of who he is. And then the last part of the psalm says, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Can I tell you this morning, he loves you. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He's not angry with you. He loves you. God is a good God. And if you'll love him and serve him and make him number one in your life, things will turn around and be good. God will be good. He is merciful. Merciful. The woman that was taken in adultery in the Bible deserved to die for her sin. What did Jesus say? He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. He showed her mercy. How many of us are here today because God was simply merciful to us? God was merciful to us. We don't deserve to be here today. We've not done anything that we should be here today. But God is good, and God is merciful, and God is truth. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you that we can thank you for all the things that you've done for us. Thank you for saving us, for filling us with your Spirit, for sanctifying us and helping us to walk in your presence in holiness and righteousness and purity of mind and heart before the Lord. Lord, we just give you praise this morning. We praise you, Lord Jesus, because of who you are today. And Lord, I just pray that during the next week of Thanksgiving, that this congregation will take a few minutes and just make a list. Lord, let everybody have a little internal time where we just stop and begin to think of all the things that you've done for us and give you thanks and give you praise. Thanking you, Lord, for what you've done, but praising you because of who you are. Be with us today. Would you stand in the house today?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.